Do you need to be reminded that God cares? Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth says she does.
God is good even when you don't feel like he's good. God loves you with a steadfast love, even when you feel like he has abandoned you. God is with you in this storm. He will never leave you.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, co-author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. For May 22nd, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh. Nancy's sharing some of what God has put on her heart in recent weeks. She's continuing in this series titled Coronavirus, Cancer, and Christ.
Well, here we are in the third week of May and still experiencing a lot of confusion and fallout related to the coronavirus pandemic, words we didn't even know months ago, much less really understand. And today, as we did yesterday, I want to just have kind of a chat. I'm not a coffee drinker, but what I'd really love to do is just say, can you pull up a chair and let's have a cup of coffee, socially distanced, of course, and just talk about some of what I've been experiencing, some of what you've been experiencing, or people that you know over these past weeks. And we're calling this short two-day conversation, Coronavirus, Cancer, a reference to a journey that Robert and I have been on over the past few months, Coronavirus, Cancer, and Christ. And it's Christ who makes all the difference in the world. Whether you're facing coronavirus or cancer or any other symptom in this very broken world. As we think about the weeks, months of this pandemic, I feel like a lot of us have lost our equilibrium. There's so many things that have been lost. Loss of normalcy, loss of routines, lack of touch, the anxiety, the mental health issues. I have, as I know you have, been in correspondence with a lot of different people on social media, on texting and emailing. And let me just read to you a few things that women have said to me just in the last couple of weeks. A single woman wrote, and some of these are social media posts, some of these are things that people said to me personally, but this woman wrote, "Today was the second time in 46 days I've seen someone I know." And then she wrote, "Today is day 51, home alone. Day 52, I miss hugs." And then she wrote, "It takes me hours to fall asleep. My anxiety and jumpiness rages when everything gets dark and quiet, and I feel extra alone and vulnerable. It's just hard." On another day, she wrote, "I'm tired. I'm just tired. I'm trying to see the Lord and his goodness and his plan in all of this. I know he's there and up to something, even when everything really does feel like a wreck." I saw a post from another woman yesterday. She said, "Never in my life have I gone anywhere close to this long without seeing another human person. And I wonder why I'm not able to function normally." And I know we're at various places in terms of lockdowns being lifted, and there may be more freedom where you are, but for some, there's still, for various reasons, this isolation. Here's another woman who wrote, "Weeks on end with no option for reprieve when we were made for community and relationships is a level of pain and stress I've never had to bear. Will I have what I need? I will be financially okay, though singles who are paid hourly may not be, but will I have supplies?" That's something a lot of us have wondered, because there's some supplies you couldn't get even if you had a lot of money. And then I got a text this morning from a mature Christian friend, and here's what she said. "Please pray for me. I've been struggling the past month to get my work done, business and around the home. I just can't seem to organize myself and my time to manage all my responsibilities. I'm dropping lots of balls. I feel as though I am work and COVID information and emotionally overloaded. This morning, it finally dawned on me why." She said, "My husband is here all the time." Now, this is a godly woman with a godly husband, and they have a great marriage. And she said, "So though a part of me loves having him around, it means more relational time and more chatter and more clutter and more cleaning and more dishes and more of everything. Plus, I'm needing to do all the shopping and errands and care for my parents who are housebound because of the virus." She said, "Please pray for me to be able to recalibrate and order my priorities wisely. and for the emotional fatigue all of this is causing. And then she popped back on with another text a few minutes later, and she said, oh, and my dog tore her ACL, had surgery yesterday, so I'm also caring for my pup. Oh my goodness. Wow. Maybe you relate to some of those posts, some of those texts. Wherever you've been, whatever your situation has been, there's this natural pull of our emotions, the uncertainty, the change, the not knowing about the what-ifs, the stress, the disorientation, the frustration. I had a friend pass me the other day, and she just said, I am so done with COVID-19. I'm done with it. And these are natural feelings. These are human feelings. Our humanness has been assaulted, and we feel these things. So coronavirus, cancer, these things upend our world. And where is Christ in all of that? I took you yesterday to a passage that has been my go-to passage. There have been lots of them through this time, but two verses from Psalm 29 that have been an anchor for my heart during these days. We looked at verse 10 of Psalm 29 yesterday. The context is some natural disaster, maybe a violent thunderstorm, but something that is earth-shattering, that is life-altering. And then it says in verse 10, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned, King forever. We looked at that verse yesterday and we saw how Christ he's reigning, he's ruling. He is not absent, he's not under the flood, he's over the flood, and he's sitting. He's not pacing, he's not panic-stricken, and he's sitting as King forever. Crown him with many crowns. He is the King who reigns forever. And then we come to verse 11, the last verse of this psalm. It says, the Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So I see two different pictures of Christ in these two different verses. In verse 10, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned, King forever. You see this great King, Christ, who is ruling over heaven and over earth. It's this like transcendent picture of the great, mighty Christ. I love that, and I need that in times like this. But I also love the tenderness of verse 11. The Lord, that same reigning Christ, he is concerned about and aware of our weakness and our need. And he stoops down to do something about it. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses his people with peace. How precious is that? Not just that he's some distant, far reigning, ruling Christ who's like transcendent and sovereign over the whole wide world. He's got the whole world in his hands. I love that. I need that. But I also need a Savior who draws near, a compassionate, tender Christ. It says he gives his people strength. That implies that his people are weak. And it's not just pagans, people who don't know Jesus who are weak. It's his people. We are his people. But we have times when we are weak. There are circumstances over which we have no control. And in the midst of that, we see that his grace is sufficient for all our weakness. You've heard me say many times over the years, and I've been saying it again recently, anything that makes me need God is a blessing. We are weak, but he is strong. In our weakness, we find his strength. So he gives strength to his people, and he blesses his people with peace. In the midst of the chaos of this world, in the midst of the flood, in the midst of the storm, God speaks peace. Strength and peace. These are the two things the Lord gives his people. And these are the two things that God has been giving Robert and me during this time of coronavirus and cancer. And over again, I want to give a testimony here, and you could do the same thing. Over and over again, we have witnessed God's providential ordering of our circumstances. We've seen his timing in the way that the Lord let our team go to Mexico and do the Mujer Verdadera conference with 6,000 women just before COVID was unleashed and before the borders shut down. We were able to minister to those precious women. And by God's grace, as far as we know, not one of those women got sick with coronavirus. And then when we got back, we were told we needed a self-quarantine for 2 weeks. It wasn't being required, but it was recommended. And that's when we knew that Robert had this cancer that needed to be dealt with, this melanoma. The Lord sent a doctor to appeal for us so that he could get in and have surgery when the hospitals were closing down. It's a long story. It's a beautiful story. But God was providentially intervening for us in the timing and the circumstances of all of this that we faced. We've seen God's provision during this time of masks and gloves and meals and groceries and a friend who volunteered to drive us home from the hospital in Grand Rapids after Robert's surgery. We've seen God's protection. We've seen his presence. And yes, in the midst of the unknowns and the uncertainty and the craziness, we have experienced God's peace. How does God bless us with peace? Well, he is the God of all peace. And as we saturate our minds and counsel our hearts with truth, that word settles in like a warm, comfortable blanket over our souls. God has blessed me with peace during this turbulent season, and he's reminded me over and over again of truth that I've shared with you over the years, and that truth has come back to encourage and bring me peace. Let me give you an example. The day before Robert went to have his surgery, the evening before, here's a tweet I sent out on Twitter. I wrote three truths that Robert and I are clinging to as we head to Grand Rapids early tomorrow for his surgery for melanoma. And keep in mind, at the time, we didn't know how serious it would be, whether they'd be able to get it all. The outcome has been a really good one, but this is before we knew that. And I said, here are three truths that we're clinging to as we head to surgery tomorrow. Number one, anything that makes us need God is a blessing. Number two, you can trust God to write your story. And number three, heaven rules. Heaven rules. And those three things are truths. I've told them to others countless times, but those are the truths that have been bringing peace to my own heart. I mentioned yesterday that Revive Our Hearts has been posting on social media some quotes from my teaching that we have re-aired recently, past series that we've brought back out of the archives because they're timeless and timely. And as they've posted those quotes, I've seen them and I've been preaching to myself. I've compiled some of those quotes onto a document that's available at reviveourhearts.com. But let me just read to you a few of those quotes that have been really sweet and helpful reminders to me and have given me strength and peace in these difficult days. Again, these are things I recorded years ago, but we've brought them back for this time. Here's one. It may not seem that God is coming to our aid immediately, but he will come. Sometimes we have to go through the night first before we get to the break of day. Here's another one. God is good even when you don't feel like he's good. God loves you with a steadfast love, even when you feel like he has abandoned you. God is with you in this storm. He will never leave you. I told that to women years ago. Now I've been reminding myself of that truth. Here's another one. Wherever trouble is present, God is more present. And this one, God uses events that turn our world upside down to drive us to cling to him. And here's one, when I recorded this years ago, I could never have imagined how timely this would be today. As we face medical fears and economic fears, we can lean entirely on Christ as our fortress and our strength. We heard another series recently called Hope for Uncertain Times. And here's what I said in that series. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Regardless of what is going on in the world or in your personal financial situation. If we have him, we are rich. We have everything we need, and we have reasons to rejoice. And then this one. Remember what God has done in the past. Rely on his character. Rehearse his promises. Refrain from taking matters into your own hands. Don't let fear drive you to places God doesn't want you to go. And then one more. Here's something that I shared with the women in Mexico in March. And again, not knowing what was ahead with coronavirus and cancer. But I said to those women then, and I'm saying it to myself and to you today, God provides grace for every trial we could ever face. His grace is enough, no matter what. God is faithful. God is good. God loves us, and He can be trusted to write our story. Well, how do we get strength? How do we get peace? We anchor our hearts in what we know about God and what we know about His ways, what we've told ourselves and others in years past. We remind ourselves of that when these calamities, these storms come. I was texting with a friend just a little bit earlier today, and she was talking about some of the chaotic and catastrophic things that are happening in our world and in her world. She has her own business, and she's been basically without work in this season, and she was just itemizing some of the things that have been really hard. And then she said, and I love this because this is where she landed. She said, "All that said, I have pages and pages of answered prayers and gratitude notes in my prayer journal during this time. God is really pouring out grace upon grace." I've experienced that same thing. Robert and I have during this time of coronavirus and cancer, because we have had Christ in the midst of all of that. I wonder if you could say the same thing. Think back to the answered prayers, the gratitude notes, and how God has poured out grace upon grace in your life. If you've not been making gratitude notes, now might be a good time to start before you forget some of those blessings in the midst of these storms. And so Psalm 29 tells us that God gives strength to His people and God gives peace to His people. And aren't those two things that our world desperately needs today? And yet the world doesn't know how to find it, how to find strength when you're weak, how to find peace when you're living in chaos. And that's why the world needs to see those things in us. God gives His people strength. God blesses His people with peace. And the world needs to be able to see that in us. Over these weeks, Robert and I have been praying for someone we know who's in the medical field. And this friend actually came down with COVID and nearly died. And our hearts were so heavy as we were asking the Lord to please touch this person and provide strength and peace and healing. And long story short, this person has recovered. And a day or so after he got home, he called us. And he was weeping. He was so grateful for our prayers, and he just wanted to say, "Thank you. We're still praying for this friend. We don't know his spiritual condition, but we know that God is at work in his life." And he was calling to say to us, "Thank you for being a source of faith and strength and prayer." Well, we've been quick to say to him and to others, "We don't have any more strength or peace than anybody else, but Christ has been that to us." And we're praying that this person and many others around us will come to find Christ as their strength and their peace in the midst of this crisis. As we think about all the things our world is going through and how the foundations of the world have been shaking, sometimes we feel like we're losing our grip. We just can't keep holding on. And for some people, some of the people that I read their comments at the beginning of this conversation, these were single women who've been alone and felt intensely the isolation. Maybe as you were listening to that, you're thinking, "I haven't had a quiet moment since this whole thing started." Maybe like my friend who said, "My husband is here all the time and I'm not getting anything done and there are extra meals." And I've heard both sides of this from people. And at times you feel like you're hanging on by your toenails. I just can't keep going. Maybe you feel just totally weary and you think, "Yeah, I know Christ and I know He reigns enthroned. I know He's King. I know He's sovereign. I know He's good. I know He's faithful, but I'm losing my grip." And there are times when we wonder, can I keep holding on? Well, I want to say to you that at the end of the day, it doesn't so much matter whether we can manage to hold fast to Christ, because we're weak. What matters is that He has promised He will hold fast to us. And that's our hope. Our friends Keith and Kristen Getty popularized a song. It's an old hymn, actually, that's been set to new music. And Keith and Kristen have sung this at our True Woman conferences. They sang it not long ago on a family chat that we had with some of our ministry partners. I want you to listen as they remind us that whatever comes into our lives, when we feel like we can't keep holding on, Christ is holding on to us. He has promised to hold us fast, and that is our hope in these times.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast.
He will hold me fast. When we can't hold fast to Him, we can be sure that He is holding fast to us. In this shaking, quaking world, that's our one unshakable, unchanging reality. And that's what we need to counsel our hearts with in this time, that truth, that in these times when we are shaking, we can be confident that Christ will hold us fast. I want to ask you today to receive that promise in a fresh way and to say, yes, Lord, I believe that You will hold me fast through this time, through whatever I'm going through right now, and through whatever I may go through down the road, a week or a month or a year or 10 years from now. I receive Your promise that You will hold me fast. And so Psalm 29 reminds us that the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned, King forever. The Lord gives His people strength. The Lord blesses His people with peace. And that's what I want to pray for you. As you think about the circumstances, the storms you may be facing, or perhaps that someone you love, a family member, a close friend, someone else is facing, I want to pray this over you and invite you to believe it by faith. So, Lord, I pray for my friends, my sisters, brothers who may be listening as well. And I pray, Lord, would You bless each friend who's listening with strength? Would You give them strength in their weakness? And would You bless them with peace? Would You speak peace? You are the Lord of all peace. You are the God of peace and comfort. I pray that You would give peace and comfort and quietness and calm in the midst of the chaos. And Lord, we give You thanks for Your promises, for You are faithful, You are true, You are good, and You can be trusted to write our story in this season. Coronavirus, cancer, whatever else may come, thank You that in the midst of it all, we have Christ, and You will hold us fast. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last year when Robert and I wrote You Can Trust God to Write Your Story, Embracing the Mysteries of Providence, we could not have imagined what 2020 would look like. And you would say the same thing. Trust God to write your story when it means coronavirus? Who even knew what that was a year ago? Trust God to write your story when it means cancer, melanoma? When we first got that diagnosis, I had to go and Google the word melanoma. I didn't even know what it was. So the story God is writing in our lives looks different this year than when we wrote that book last year. But I want to read to you an excerpt of what we wrote in that book last year and then hear it in light of circumstances this year. Here's what we said. God is sovereign. His ways are unfathomable. Only He fully knows why He does what He does. And whatever He does is purposeful, good, and for our good. That is the message of this book. As we sit here today, we wrote this a year ago, we have no idea what our future may hold. Our story is still being written, and He has not given us an inside track on what the next chapters look like. But our trust is in the One who holds our future, the author and the finisher of our faith. that gives us freedom and peace, even when we can't see what lies ahead. We wrote this, as we've listened to some of the painful stories dear friends have shared with us for this book, we can't help but wonder what rocky paths we may yet be called to travel. We may yet face serious health issues, the loss of a mate, and or other crises known only to him. Can you spell COVID-19? We wrote, but we know he has been faithful in each chapter thus far. And we know he will be faithful in each one yet to come, and that his grace will be sufficient for wherever he leads us. We don't want to tell him how to write our story. We trust him to write our story for us. Above all, our desire is that our lives will showcase the beauty and the goodness of his story. That's what we wrote in that book called You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. That was our goal for our lives then, and it's our goal for our lives today. It's our goal for Revive Our Hearts. It's our goal for you, that our lives, our ministries, will showcase the beauty and the goodness of God's story. Since we wrote those words, we have faced the coronavirus pandemic, faced cancer, and only God knows what next year will hold, and the next, and the next. But we are still confident that he is faithful. He is good, and he can be trusted to write our story. That book, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story, is probably more timely today than it was when we wrote it. And if you don't have a copy of your own, or if you'd like one to share with someone else, we'd like to make it available to you today as our way of saying thank you when you make a gift to the ministry of Revive Our Hearts, a gift of any amount. Just let us know you'd like the book, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. We're asking the Lord to write the story of Revive Our Hearts this month by providing a significant financial need as we come to the end of our fiscal year. We've seen God provide now for almost 20 years, day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year of the financial needs at Revive Our Hearts. And then again, we come to a month like this and we think the whole world's in this financial crisis and we think we can see God provide the $750,000 we're trusting him for this month. That seems impossible. Well, it may be. But we're not looking to ourselves or our friends or you. We're looking to God and saying, Lord, you're our donor with a capital D. You know what the needs are. You know how you want to provide. You know who can give more maybe at this time. And you know those who can't at all and who are trusting you perhaps for daily bread in a way they've never had to do before. And if that's your situation, I pray that you will find God faithful to provide what you need in this time. But if the Lord has made it possible for you to give a gift at this time, just know how grateful we would be. You can do that by going to reviveourhearts.com, or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. And when you make your gift, be sure and let us know that you'd like a copy of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. Come whatever may, coronavirus, cancer, whatever other storms, Christ reigns. Christ rules. He reigns supreme. He's on his throne. He's king forever. He gives strength to his people, and he blesses his people with peace. You really can trust him to write your story.
In these days of reopening and coming out from our shelter-in-place orders, does it suddenly seem like the world is getting busier and louder? And maybe even like the conversation is getting a little more aggressive. In the middle of all the clamor of social media, the clamor of opinions, the clamor of discontent, you can learn how to have a quiet heart. We'll look together at God's Word and see how to develop that kind of God-given quietness. We'll start that series Monday, right here on Revive Our Hearts. I hope you'll be back. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth wants to remind you that God cares. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.